2 Timothy chapter 3. We've come now to the last section. The man of God must be wise. And I'm not going to try to squeeze it in all tonight. So we'll do half of it and then finish up the other half. But we've been making a trip through 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the first section was the man of God is warned. Verses 1 through 5, the man of God is wary, verses 6 through 9. The man of God must be watchful, verses 10 through 13. And then the man of God must be wise. God wants the man of God, verse 17, to be perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. So here we are with that last section, the man of God must be wise. Let's read those four verses, and then we'll carve off the first two of this last section and jump into that. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we'll take a couple of Sunday evenings to get through this last section. Tonight in verses 14 through 15, I see an exhortation to live in the Word. And then in verses 16 and 17, I see an explanation of how to live out the Word. So really, we want to live in the truth of God's Word, but then we want the truth of God's Word living out itself in our lives. We want to live out the truth of God's Word. So tonight, an exhortation to live in the Word, and next Sunday evening, an explanation of how to live out the Word. But even some of that we see in tonight's passage. Not just living in the truth, but living out the truth that we immerse ourselves in, like that cucumber and that dill and the salt we heard about on Thursday night. So again, we'll look at those two verses, verses 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So tonight, verses 14 and 15, the man of God must be wise, an exhortation to live in the Word. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray you meet with us tonight. Lord, it is such a treat to be able to open your Word. Lord, what a treasure. The things that we would never know if we didn't have your precious Word. Thank you that we do have your precious Word. And we can know those things. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to immerse ourselves in your Word. May your truth be such that we live in it, and then we live out the truths of your Word. Not just truth, but the person of truth. That the Lord Jesus, as Paul talked about, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. May the Lord Jesus himself, the one who is truth, live out the truth in our lives. May we be surrendered vessels to the things that he would want to do through our lives. Meet with us tonight, O God. Please speak to our hearts. Please show us each, Lord, things that we can do to please you this week, especially in this area of living in the truth of your Word. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. There was a wealthy couple. They checked into a nice hotel after driving all day, exhausted and wishing to relax. They asked the clerk for the hotel's best room. Without hesitation, the clerk rang for the bellhop and handed over the key to room 710. Turning the key, the couple entered a room that was very nice, but hardly worth the premium price they had paid. Not people to complain, they tipped the bellhop, and at first they didn't see a bed, but soon discovered that in the sofa there was a hideaway bed. They moved the cushions and pulled it out, and they tried to get some sleep, but they tossed and turned all night on the, thin mattress. When the morning sun entered the room, they awoke with their aching backs. In the light of the new day, the husband noticed a set of double doors. He said, "Hun, look, I think I found the closet." Swinging the doors open, he was stunned. Inside the doors was the master bedroom. In the room were fresh-cut flowers, a basket of tasty fruit. Everything was beautiful, the furnishings, the curtains, the accessories, down to the last detail. The husband and wife just shook their heads. "If only we had opened the door and entered in all the way. We were only a few steps away from real comfort." Their frustration is typical of many Christian believers. They fail to enter into God's word all the way. They stop before they can get the full benefit of what the Bible has to offer. You can't really live in something until you go through the doors, can you? And some have gone through those doors of salvation, but they fail to daily, on an ongoing basis, go through the doors of study, spending that time digging out the treasures that are in God's word. Doesn't 2 Timothy 2:15 tell us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? May it be that we might pray on an ongoing basis, "Oh God, I need the blessed treasures of your word to make it through today. Don't let me stop short of the real blessings in your word." So we'll look at verses 15 and 16. I'm sorry, 14 and 15 there. So it says there in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned." So there, where it says, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned," I see he's telling us to be habitual and be hungry. Be habitual and be hungry. Have habits, ongoing habits that never stop of getting in God's word. Habits, build those habits, cultivate those habits, protect those habits. We know how habits, bad habits, you don't even have to practice those, right? You plant your garden, like, "Where'd those weeds come from? I didn't plant those." It takes work to get the real fruit in your garden to grow, but those weeds, those bad habits, but if you put the work into it, boy, that good fruit. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." Be habitual. Be hungry. Continue learning. Continue in those things. Keep doing the things you learned and keep learning more about the life you're supposed to live. Be habitual and be hungry. In the second part of verse 14, we see those things that we have been assured of. "Continue in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Be hardy and be heedful. Be hardy and be heedful. The truths of God's word that you've been assured of. And if you're assured of something, you can proceed with confidence, right? So we see the value of continuance, and we see the value of confidence. Those truths that you've been assured of, practice them, live out those things. Have a life of assurance, those things you've been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Be heedful. Don't listen to just any teacher, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Make sure the teacher that you have is the right teacher. And even the Bible, we'll look at the passage, but considering the end of their conversation, they're living out the truth that they're trying to give to me. How is it working out for them? I don't want to get ahead of myself. Be hardy, be heedful. Then in verse 16, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Be holy. Those holy scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. They are able, but you have to decide to appropriate those truths. They can bring you to the point where you see salvation and understand what you need to do, but you're the one who has to accept, receive those truths. "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise." Be holy and be humble. Wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Faith to receive salvation, and then faith to just humbly obey Christ in this life. So be habitual and hungry. Be hardy and heedful. Be holy and humble. So let's begin. We see in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Live in the truth, and then let the truth live out itself in your life. Live out the truth, and don't ever stop. Continue. Abide has the idea of dwell. Mano. Dwell. Dwell in the truth. Continue in the things that thou hast learned. Live there. Remain there. Keep on keeping on. Don't stop studying. Don't stop serving. The Apostle Paul said in this life, 2 Corinthians 12:15, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Sometimes for us, that's a bad thought, right? We'll say, oh, I'm just so spent. I'm just so spent. I'm worn out. But I can't, again, the way we use things in context and down here, I feel so used. I feel so used. But that can be a good thing. I feel so used. God's using me. Praise the Lord. I feel used of the Lord. Depending on how you approach that, how is it? The Apostle Paul said, I want to be spent for you. I will be spent. And I will spend and be spent for you. Oh, that was the life that he enjoyed. Of course, we would say, easy for you to say, Paul, you and your charmed life. You know, not everyone had it as easy as you. Of course, I speak tongue in cheek, don't I? Paul knew problems, heartaches. Even the people that were supposed to be beloved of him. The more I love, the less I be loved. He knew discouragement. He knew persecution. Oh, the blessed simplicity and eloquence of that single word, continue. Continue. I remember being a kid, and maybe some of you remember this too, when you're young and you think, you know, you're approaching summer break, the 9 months of school is about to come to an end, and you're like, oh, summer break. 3 months of just vacation and then it hits you. You're like, when does Dad get his summer break? And then you're like, what? All year? He doesn't get 3 months off? All year? He just keeps at it? I don't know if I'm ready to be an adult. That's awful. 12 months? Of the year you just stay at things? And I think sometimes we're like that with the Christian life. We're like, please God and serve him always? It just keeps going. When do I get to just stop pleasing him? And just ongoing? Continue though? And just like the thought gets way less horrifying. It's like, oh, okay, I can work 12 months out of the year, enjoy a vacation here and there. It gets, as you mature, hopefully the thought gets way less horrifying. And it needs to be the same way with spiritual things too, right? Please him all the time? Are you kidding? There's no better life than to please him. Far from something to be horrified at. It's a wonderful thing to please God. And really, when you please the Lord, you'll find that your life has fulfillment. Ongoing in my excellence. I remember I was listening to a secular motivational speaker, listening to what he had to say, and he was saying, boy, it's easy to win because so many start, but so many people find it impossible to continue. As you start, boy, there's a lot of people there, but the competition seems to fall away because ongoing excellence, people just feel like they're not built for it. Oh, Christian, the Apostle Paul is saying, continue thou. live today excellently for the Lord, and find in Him the strength to live tomorrow excellently for the Lord, and find tomorrow the strength in Him to live excellent for the Lord. Day by day continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Aim for the long game. I will be excellent for my Lord as long as I am alive. Keep learning. Be hungry for the truths, truth to live in and truth to live out. Continue occurs more than 100 times in the New Testament and more than 50 times in the writings of the Apostle John. Timothy was able to abide to make himself at home in the Word of God. It was a safe refuge from the wind-blown heresies of the day, a secure retreat from the fear of being blown to gale force by the hatred of this world. Continue thou ongoing excellence. Can the new piano player play a symphony after only one lesson? Of course not. The student gets better by sitting on the piano bench day after day, playing the scales over and over again, carefully learning every note on every bar of the sheet music. Studying the scriptures is much the same. The more time you spend in God's word, the more you get out of it, the more God blesses you and then equips you to do His calling, just like the piano student who wants the symphony without the practice. Too many Christians expect to get all the blessings promised in scripture without spending the time in God's word. Based on the amount of time you spend in the scripture, are you more equipped to do God's work today than you were when you first became a Christian? Be habitual. Be hungry. And secondly, the second part of verse 14 there, be hardy. Be heedful. Continue in those things which you've learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Live an assured, confident life in these truths. Be hardy. Be robust, capable of enduring difficult situations. Like when a plant is considered hardy, someone might say, well, this plant is vigorous and hardy. They're referring to its ability to flourish, even in rough growing conditions. Living a life of assurance is powerful. Live a life continuing in the truths and being assured of them so that you can say, like the Apostle Paul, when he said in Romans 8, 37 through 39, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And you see, I don't feel like a conqueror very much. And it could be you're not continuing in the things that thou hast learned. Continuing in those things. Dwelling in the truth. Living in the truth and living out the truth. Because we can have that thought of being conquerors through Him that loved us. And He said, for I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors. I am persuaded. Live this Christian life heartily as unto the Lord. Remember who taught the truths to you. Be heedful. Consider the end of those conversations, of their conversation. They've been living out the truth, hopefully. They've been giving to you. How's it going for them? Hebrews 13, 7, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. They've been living out the truth that they've been teaching me. How's it going for them? Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Boy, the saying, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Boy, there was the Apostle Paul. He was one that he could say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." He had an Apostle Paul to follow. Know who taught you. Is God worth following or not? He had the Apostle Paul, but Timothy also enjoyed a godly mom and a godly grandma, Lois and Eunice. And he's going to talk more about them in the next verse, as from a child learning the Holy Scriptures. Be careful who you're getting your teaching from. I don't know, just like the saying that on your phone, well, there's an app for that. There's an app for that. Well, whatever you want, you can find a teacher to agree with you. Oh, there's a teacher for that. You can find somebody, and of course, if you find them on the internet, that's even better. You don't have to consider the end of their conversation. You don't have to see how their marriage is going, how their family is going, how their life is going. You just find somebody that agrees with what you want to hear. Oh, there's a heretic for that. Whatever you want to do. I was reading the Friday church news notes, and in there it says, there are great dangers with the internet. Moral dangers and heretical dangers, to name just a few of the major categories. The following is a testimony that was sent to us by a pastor. So this pastor said, "It is my observation, one of the greatest dangers of the internet technology is that it brings literally thousands of teachers into your home. Any church member now, in the absence of serious Bible study, can hold forth on any topic by putting the verses in question into Google and then quoting his favorite teacher. The speaker has no knowledge on the subject, no knowledge of the teacher. I had a man in our congregation who got involved with many different online Baptist teachers. He adopted all kinds of silly doctrines, millennialism, no eternal security, etc. He was at best a baby Christian with no time in the Word of God. But because he read lots of people, suddenly he considered himself an expert. He was shocked when I told him to stop reading those internet teachers. Boy, it's shocking to any American to tell them certain things they should avoid. Right away they say, "Well, you're trying to hide something from me. Everything's a conspiracy. We have the right to read and to learn from anything we want." It used to be you had to put effort into finding other teachers, and a pastor who had been saved for decades and approved by sending a church had standing. But now, thanks to the internet, you can find all sorts of experts to tickle all your fancies. You want to drink booze? Oh, you can find an internet teacher for that. You want to become a pastor without meeting the qualifications? Oh, you can find an internet teacher that will tell you that's just fine. You want women preachers? Oh, there's an internet teacher for that. You want to stop separation and then justify conforming to this world? There's a teacher for that. You think your pastor is a bad guy? There's someone on the internet who will agree with you. Anything you want, there's a teacher for that. This is one of the worst parts of this new technology. It puts every heretic right at your fingertips. "Knowing of whom thou hast learned them," Paul said. Be careful who your teachers are. But imagine being Timothy and having Paul as your mentor. Can you just imagine that? Again, a lot of times we don't know what we have while we have it, do we? He got to enjoy Paul as his mentor. What a gifted instructor he would have been. Even casual conversation with Paul was probably more educational than a whole lecture delivered by me. Paul doubtless told Timothy how he once studied under Gamaliel to be a rabbi, or even some of the things during that 3.5 years on the backside of the desert, re-examining the Old Testament, no doubt, in the light of Calvary, telling Timothy some of those things. But for Timothy, he needed to continue. Much land still remained to be possessed through personal Bible study. Boy, I'm so glad to have good men. Dr. Brown and I were talking about just back in the day when the scientists, the so-called scientists, came out with their dishonesty that said, you know, evolution, oh, it's true. No, it's verified. Oh, it's completely true. And preachers didn't know what to do, and they were scrambling. And some of them thought, I don't know. Well, maybe there's such a thing as theistic evolution, and I'm not sure. And I praise God for the solid people I've got to learn from. And the church I grew up in, and having people that can study out the creation science issue and show me the truth. I'm not at the mercy of scientists who really do know more than me, but are dishonest with it. Oh, the blessing of the people I get to learn from. All through the years, I've just been so blessed. Do you treasure the people God has placed in your life to give you His truth? Are you assured of those things, knowing those that taught those things to you? Verse 15 then, be holy and be humble, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Know the holy scriptures and follow their truths all the way to salvation. Make wise, sophizo. The Bible is able to give the necessary understanding of salvation. Through the scripture, the Bible can lead you to come face to face with your need and who the Savior is, how much I need Him. Of course, at that point, you have to decide, will I receive that Savior to be my Lord and my King or not? The Scriptures are able to make us wise, to give us the necessary understanding. All the Bible. Where else would you know the truths of God's Word? I remember my pastor growing up, he had made different trips down to South America and Central America, and he would talk about the peoples down there and their human sacrifice. They knew that there must have been a God, but they didn't know how to appease Him. They weren't sure what to do, and they're like, and they knew somehow we've offended Him. They knew that there must be a God, and we must have offended Him, and we don't know what to do about it. And there would be human sacrifice, because they didn't have the scripture to look in. Way back in their lineage, someone had just denied the truth of God's word and turned from those things, and they were living as pagans and heathens, and they were killing each other to appease this God that must exist, and we're quite certain we've offended Him, but we don't know what to do. Let's kill that person. Aren't you glad you have a scripture that says just the opposite? That while we do have a God up in heaven, and while we have offended Him, we don't have to kill ourselves. That God provided His own Son. How would we have known that without the Holy Scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation? How the righteousness of Jesus can be imputed onto my account. The sin in my account can be taken out and placed on Christ, and His righteousness can be placed in my account instead. How would I know that if it weren't for the Holy Scriptures, able to make thee wise unto salvation? That the problem of sin and death can be dealt with in the person of Christ, that faith in what Jesus did on the cross can be reckoned for righteousness to the believer, that Jesus died, the very Son of God, but that He rose from the dead 3 days later, and then even now He's up in heaven interceding for me. I wouldn't know that if not for the Holy Scriptures. They're able to make us wise unto salvation. How precious is this book? Are we living in its truths? Are we living out its truths? John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Clean through the word. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification, cleansing through these words. John 20:31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Even young men, right? How's a young man going to cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Oh, the things that we would not have access to if it wasn't for the Holy Scriptures, able to make us wise unto salvation. And remember, Timothy, he wouldn't have had the New Testament. He would have been raised with the Old Testament. From a child, the Bible says. He had access to the Holy Scriptures, able to make him wise until salvation. The Old Testament is even enough to show us to trust the Christ who would be sent according to the Old Testament and who was sent according to the New. No church has any secret knowledge on what someone needs to do to be saved. The Scripture possesses the answers. Faith in the Christ of the Bible. And in this context, he's saying, Timothy, continue. God had given Timothy a godly heritage, and it would be an affront to them, to that heritage, not to continue. So many of us, the Lord gave me saved parents. And if I choose not to continue, an affront to the heritage God gave to me. And even those of you who are first generation Christians, how did you know somebody came to you? Maybe not a Lois or a Eunice in your own home, but a Paul came along and shared that truth with you. Continue in that truth. May your life be one of continuance and not a life that's an affront to those that were faithful to deliver the truth to you. Place your faith in salvation and be ongoing in your trust for Christ. A life of trusting, a life of obeying, a life of humility. Now Timothy, his dad was a Greek, Acts 16:1. And you wonder if those two worlds clashed and collided. Because Greek, boy, they have all their fairy tales, don't they? They have Mount Olympus and Zeus and all sorts of exciting stories of Greek mythology. And I wonder if his dad gave him Mount Olympus and mom and grandma gave him Mount Moriah, a competition in his life. Did Timothy hear about the gods of Mount Olympus and the God of the Bible? And he had a choice to make. Mount Olympus or Mount Moriah, which would he pursue? The fairy tales of this world or the realities of God? By the way, this is still a competition today, isn't it? Young people, the story, boy, this world has some interesting things to say. This world has some interesting stories. This world, oh, the competition is still here today. Which is it going to be, Mount Olympus, the fairy tales of this world, or Mount Moriah? Christ died for our sins. The stories of this world, the stories of God's word. Well, you have Zeus on the one hand, the father of the gods, Hermes, the messenger of the gods, and Neptune, the god of the sea. Would Timothy see these gods were but imaginary, lawless, and lustful? You see, according to the Bible, God made us in his image, according to Greek mythology. Well, the truth is they made their gods in their image, lawless and lustful. Would he have listened with wide-eyed wonder what his dad told him tales of Homer about Ulysses, Helen of Troy, the Cyclops, the Sirens, Medusa, and the Minotaur? once upon a time stories full of adventure, excitement, and narrow escapes. Then would he move on to Philip of Macedon and Alexander the Great of Thermopylae, of Salamis, the Spartans in wars with Persia and Athens and Mars Hill, and the Golden Age of Greece and Plato, Pythagoras, Aristotle, Archimedes, Herodotus. But then there were the scriptures, able to make one wise unto salvation. The stories of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, David and Goliath, Samson and Delilah, Moses and Pharaoh, Joseph, Jonathan, Jeremiah, Jonah, and even Job. Really, there's some exciting stories in Greek mythology, but they don't compare at all to the truth and the reality of Mount Moriah, Mount Sinai, where God's law was given, Mount Zion. What's Hercules compared with Samson? What are the gods of Greece compared with Elohim, Jehovah, Adonai of the Jewish people? Who could settle for human reasoning when he could have divine revelation? So young Timothy's heart was turned toward the scriptures. In the battle for his soul, the fairy stories of Greek religion lost out to the truths of the scripture, and the Greek philosophers met with the same fate. Timothy learned about Moses and the bulrushes and the burning bush, Daniel in the lion's den, Elijah on Mount Carmel. Taught about the Mosaic law of God's righteous demands, about the moral law and the ceremonial law, the sacrifices, the offerings, the tabernacle and the temple, about Hebrew history from Abraham to the theocracy to the monarchy to the dependency on the worldwide dispersion of the Jewish people. Timothy read the prophets and learned about the Hebrew hope of the coming Messiah. From a child, thou hast learned the scriptures. Child comes from the word brephos. And it has the idea as from a newborn babe. The same word is used of John the Baptist before he was even born. That's how young he was. Luke 1:41, this word brephos. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, brephos, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. From a child, from very, very, very tiny, he was listening to the scripture. This word was used of Jesus shortly after he was born. In Luke 2:12, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe, the brephos, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So from a very young person, Timothy was immersed in the Bible, his mother's lullabies, certainly from the Psalms. Her songs full of praise to God would have been taught to read the Bible and to respect it as the foremost and final authority on all matters. And when his mom wasn't teaching him, he had a godly grandma who was helping him to see the truths. He knew the scriptures. The word translated scriptures in 2 Timothy is the plural for grandma. Not like grandma, grandpa, but grandma like grammar, where we get our grammar, English grammar from. There, we listen to this about, he learned his ABCs right out of the Bible. They marveled with Jesus. They said about Jesus here with grandma, the word for grammar, here they're in John 7, verses 14 through 15. "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." And again, he was the son of a carpenter. He wasn't trained in all the big rabbinical schools. This son of a carpenter shows up and teaches with authority. And they marveled. Verse 15, John 7, 15, "And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters?" That's the same word there. Having never learned. Sorensen says this about these verses: about midweek, midway through the eight-day feast, Jesus arrived in Jerusalem and went up to the temple and taught. The Jewish authorities were amazed that he could debate theological issues of the day on a level with the doctors of the law present. The phrase, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned," reveals a standard educational bias. The word translated as letters or grammar, from whence our English word grammar derives, has the sense of formal literature. In this case, the laws are the law. The word translated as learned, manthano, basically is a reference to formal education. Jesus had never attended either of the two major rabbinical theological seminaries of Jerusalem, that of Hillel or Shammai. They, therefore, were perplexed. How could he hold his own and even prevail in the lofty theological debates and lectures carried on in the temple? This man learned his letters, Timothy, from a young man, had learned his ABCs right out of the Word of God, out right from the law of God. By the way, it's far better to be lettered in the Scriptures than to have a string of letters after your name from a galaxy of Ivy League colleges, but then maybe having no understanding of the Scripture. It's interesting to note that even though he learned the Scriptures from a young man, he did not get saved until later on. The Bible seems to indicate from 1 Timothy 1:2 that Paul was his spiritual father, giving those Scriptures to our young people and being patient. Those same Scriptures that are able to make them wise unto salvation, immersing them in God's Word. And even Timothy, having a godly mom and a godly grandmother, did not get saved until later on. Paul being his spiritual father and also his mentor. Under Paul's instruction, Timothy's learning went beyond anything that his godly mother and grandma could teach him. Paul would not be with him forever, so he continued in his attempt to strengthen Timothy's resolve by reminding him of his deep roots in the Word of God. Of him to whom much had been given, much would be required. Luke 12:48. So it is interesting that it's not enough to just have learned the Scriptures. It's not enough to have been even just assured of those Scriptures, or even to have really good teachers to teach you those Scriptures. Each person must claim the truth for themselves. Maybe there's someone here tonight that, boy, you've been taught the Scriptures from very young and been assured of those things and had excellent teachers, but maybe you need to come to the Lord in a saving knowledge still. Others of us that are saved, how are we doing at continuing in these Scriptures? Stay in the Word. Educators tell us it takes about 30 consecutive days to make a habit stick through constant repetition. What at first seems awkward shortly becomes second nature once a new habit is formed. Now, because we're fallen sinners, good habits are harder to form than bad habits. Bad habits, they just come naturally. What good habits do you need to form? Chances are, if you have targets in your life, you have a much better chance of hitting them. What are your targets? What are your goals in this life? One essential target for us is to continue in the Scriptures. It is in the Scriptures, the Word of God, where the habit of godliness is formed. But be warned, there are no shortcuts to the habit of godliness. The Scriptures are not just a place where we drop in and visit from time to time. The Scriptures are to be lived in, to be dwelled in, as if they are our very home. Are you willing to start out on a 30-day journey and form a good habit continuing in the Scriptures? Then there's no better time than the present to Begin living in God's word if it's not a habit of your life. The godly mark of a believer is that he lives in the scripture. How are you doing living in the truth and living out the truth? Are you habitual and hungry? Are you hardy and heedful, being careful who you listen to? Are you holy? Are you truly saved and humble? Are you trusting and obediently ongoing by faith, doing those things that please him? Remember Hebrews 11, by faith. And what did each of those people do by faith? By all faith they went on to obey, giving a life of ongoing excellence, devoted to those things that God had for them. So tonight, an exhortation to live in the word. Next week, an explanation of how to live out the word. Would you close your eyes and